We've been speaking about grace, amazing grace. We've been looking at how it worked out in Paul's life, and he's been teaching us through his letter to the churches in Galatia about not being tricked or drawn back into the law, and the regulations and rules, but to not only receive grace, but to walk in it, live in it. This week, I want to begin in a scripture in 2 Corinthians. So maybe keep your fingers in Galatians. If you need to, turn to your left in the Bible, one book, to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Beginning with verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Are you there?
Almost.
Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because, get this, it is removed by Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I don't know if this hits you the same way it does me, but man, this is exciting. This is how it happens. You know, and again, I don't know about you, but me, my experience is, everybody has got a message to tell me, you know, about how you have to walk in Christ. And it's usually a bunch of rules and regulations you have to obey. And they're telling me to make sure, you know, I tell the church. And it gets a little wearying at times because we're about grace. And people, when they read Scripture, it just as it says, even today, they could be reading it, and there's a veil over their mind. They cannot accept grace. How many of you have heard that term, cheap grace? You know, get accused of that a lot. And I don't see anything cheap about it. I mean, Jesus gave his entire life, and look at that sacrifice. So, this is what we see happening in believers' lives. And if you are trying to disciple or witness someone, and you see that they're stuck in the law, and they're trying to put burdens of regulations and rules on you, remember this. Remember this. It is removed by Christ. We've been talking a little bit about grace and how in Romans 10, verse 4, it says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That is just so amazing. And it's hard for us to accept it. Why? Because so many of us, we just have it ingrained in us that we want to prove ourselves to be holy and righteous to God. And even though we read the scriptures that no one is righteous, not even one, we're still out after to prove it, right?
Is that partly because of our nature? Or just from what we're taught?
I read a Bible somewhere where it says, if you practice righteousness, you are righteous. So,
yes. There's that little thing inside of you that, forget about the little devil in the back of your mind giving you these ideas and thoughts and stuff. I'm talking about our human nature You know, does that come into play?
Well, yeah, because we're all about self. We're all about pride. We especially in America, you know, our country DNA is, you know, be self-made. We're going to be our own self. And as Hector's referring to, you know, we do want to be righteous, but it's only Christ's righteousness that he puts on us. I mean, we cannot be righteous without that. And even at that, it's not the rules and regulations that we follow that makes us righteous. And we're going to deal with that a little bit as we go on. We've been talking about, I've been planting that question in your mind as we go along about, well, you know, does that mean since I'm not under the law anymore and I'm under grace, I can just go do anything I want? You know, we get accused of that if we're walking and living in grace. And so how do we balance that? Where do we find that balance? Well, this morning we're starting out to answer that question, that dilemma, that spiritual dilemma that we have. And this is where it starts. You know, Moses was given the law and he came down and his face was just glowing. And he had to put a veil over it so that they couldn't, you know, stand to look at him. And that veil is only removed by Christ. In other words, the understanding, if you want to have understanding, it's removed by Christ. So we're gonna talk about that a little bit. But this is where that comes from. All right. That's our introduction. Let's jump back to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You know, I think we could take that, just that half a sentence, and go walk up in the woods and sit there for a while and probably meditate on that one for about 2 days. And really maybe not even get it. Because again, we're stuck with our understanding where, you know, from ourselves, from people around us telling us what we must do to be righteous. But it was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's amazing. But we lose track of that. And I want to remind us today that it was for freedom. We're freedom in Christ. Liberty. You know, it's the liberty that we have in Christ that drives people crazy who are intent on demonstrating their righteousness by their own personal acts. That is born out of this desire to earn grace, to do it through works and not faith. Our works need to be born out of faith. If faith comes first, if we have the faith, if we have the Holy Spirit guiding us. We have His strength, His wisdom, His power, all of the things that He gives us to go out and do the works. And we're going to talk a little bit about what those works are in a moment. Still in verse 1. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Do you realize that? That when we're in the law, when we're trying to prove our own righteousness, we're under a yoke of slavery. That's what the law was. There was no getting set free from the law. If you disobeyed the law, death was the punishment. You know, pretty simple. But Christ paid that debt for us. So when we go through this spiritual transformation and we're born again, And before we were born again, you know, we're out there living like hell. You know, we're doing everything, the deeds of the flesh. We become born again. And we start to feel good about ourselves because, you know, we've received Christ and there's a little bit of peace and love and some of these great things that He gives us. But then something might happen. We start to think, oh, yeah, I am pretty good. You know? And then we start reverting back to the law. Because now, all of a sudden, we have some semblance of ability to look like, you know, holiness. But it's tricky. It is tricky. Legalism has the right motives. That's what's so sneaky about it. It comes from the right motives, but it's destructive. It's destructive because it will end up in either self-condemnation because we realize I cannot do it. You know, we might do it for a day or a week, but we cannot. We will fail. We will not obey the law. Or it comes into self-glory. You know, look at me. I got it figured out. I'm so good. I'm holy. I'm righteous. You know, you, on the other hand, have some problems, but I've got it.
Exactly. No.
Hey, I see your shirt there, you know. Even a hippie could come in there. All right, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. What's he talking about? Is he saying if we go out and get physically circumcised? No. If we take on the law, if we think that we can obey the law to the letter and prove our righteousness that way, Christ has no benefit to us. Because what does Jesus say? He says, receive my grace. I've paid the price. And when you, in faith, come to me, he forgives us all of our sins, past, present, and future. He's thrown as far as the east is from the west. So, that's a pretty shocking statement. If we think we can be holy by our acts and our actions, then what do we need Jesus for? Huh? I mean, when we put it that way, it starts to make sense. And we say, I do need Jesus.
Well, when we think we're holy by our acts, that just flat out is just religion that the Pharisees start at, and that Jesus always jerked a can over.
Amen. Verse 3, and I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation to keep the whole law. You know, not just most of them, but the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, and you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. You know, see, if we go around and start bragging about being uncircumcised, it means anything to Christ. Neither means anything to him. But faith working through love. Faith working through love. If we want to demonstrate our faith, if we want to be doing those works born out of faith, it's through love. We receive the love of God, and then we go out because we have the love of Him in us, and we're able to love others in ways that we could not do before. You know, prior to being born again, our love is conditional, right? Well, I think I can get something out of this person if I love them and help them serve them, because then they'll owe me some favors, right? But a godly love says we do it just to love them. We don't expect anything in return. And that's a real challenge to our spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's hard.
It is, because it's not our nature. But it's the challenge that we have, and it's what can be done when we surrender to Christ. Anytime we try to add anything on to Christ, to the cross, then Christ becomes useless to us. So stop it. That's my counsel.
Got that?
You know, you don't have to go pay anybody. Just stop it.
Well, they tried that. Just say no, that didn't work. Reagan and his wife, just say no,
yeah.
It didn't work.
If it's not born out of faith, you know, when everybody I've worked with seeking recovery from drugs and alcohol, until they get to the point where they want to please Christ, I don't think they'll get recovered. You know, so you have to be born again first, but you have to have a reason to want to change. You know, you might change for your spouse, but after a while, it won't be good enough because they'll set the bar a little bit higher on something. Or you'll fail because, you know, you got mad at them one week. And you say, the heck with that, I'm going out to the bar. So it has to be born out of faith. We have to want to please Christ.
Yo, I just have a comment on that. I just wanted to, you know, because I went through that for years. You know, it's kind of like, man, you know, like addictions and stuff like that. And I finally came to the point, like, you know, I'm not going to let that drag me away. I'm going to, you know, to live well requires discipline. That's kind of my motto in my life. To live well requires discipline. And no matter what, the next day, I'm going to try to be on a schedule, and I'm going to try to, you know, read my word and pray. And I really feel there's a real changing power in that. You know, we want to, when we fall or we stumble, then it's like, oh, I can't come to God. And then we'll just kind of wild go out there and wandering around feeling bad about ourselves. And that's not what God wants. He wants, every time you just come to me, just come to me. You just keep coming to me. And then he starts changing our hearts. And then the real desire to want to please him, you know, that comes into play, and that's where the power comes from.
Amen.
Yeah. Every failure is an opportunity to glorify God. You can let the devil sneak in, or else you can turn to God.
Amen. So don't even let sin stop you from coming to the Father.
Right. Well, if we're stuck on the law,
right,
and there's rules and regulations, we're trying to, you know, please God that way.
Right.
That's where that self-condemnation comes in. You
know, right.
We hit that point inevitably. We just can't do it.
Right.
Well, there's this law of liberty. Have you heard of it? A law of liberty. Turn to 2 John. Go to the right, almost to the end of the Bible, right before you get to Revelation 2 John. Verse 5. And John writes, "Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." Love one another. This new law of Christ is a divine love. It's not a human love, which is conditional, but it's a divine love. We love God because he first loved us.
Amen.
Amen? That's that divine love. This divine love is implanted in a renewed heart by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit touches us, when he touches our heart, We're transformed, we're renewed, we're changed. And it's through the Spirit that we can say Jesus is Lord. It's this spiritual transformation which flows out of the energy of the Spirit, unforced and spontaneous. If we're having to force it, we're probably not doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We may be back again in doing it through self. And it is that divine love in us working out towards others is aimed at others, his other children, those who aren't in the kingdom. This law of liberty is in contrast with the external law of Moses. You know, he came down from the mountain with the external law. And I like the way that's put, because, you know, we try to make ourselves look good on the outside, what people can see. Right? What? Maybe the way we're groomed, maybe the way we dress, you know, the things that we're saying, you know, we can walk around saying all of these spiritual things, and it's just an external thing.
Amen.
What's on the inside is what counts, and that's what God says. And that's a caution for us. When we are tempted to judge or criticize another believer, because We can't see their heart like God can. And that's why we have to be careful. Moses' law demands love. Demands love. Christ's law is love. What a difference. What a difference. And so Christ's law takes the place of the external law.
This merit system you hit before, our American culture, we have this merit system and the golden rule. It seems to me that this entire merit system that we have and this false sense of morals is nothing but the flesh, which keeps us bound.
Right.
And Romans 8:15 says we have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. And that's what those rules and our merit system and our, when we say, well, I've been offended, their moral system is not like mine. That's just the spirit of bondage.
Amen. Amen. Well, turn back one book to 1 Peter 2:16 as we're looking in on this law of liberty a little bit more. 1 Peter 2:16. And he's saying, act as freemen. And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. We're starting to dig in a little bit on this grace. And, you know, just where's this balance? Where is grace, really? You know, is Christ the Lord of sin, that we may go out and sin all the more? No. Don't use our grace as a covering for evil. Rather, act as bond slaves to God. One more, James. Turn to the left. One more book. James 1, verse 25. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So, we all seek God's blessing. We seek His direction. We seek His will. And this is where His heart is. You know, it's one thing to come to church and rah-rah and talk about, you know, walking in the Spirit and loving others. But it's another thing to be doing it the rest of the week, isn't it?
Amen.
Can I read this in the message?
Sure.
Okay. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action.
And that's good. So, you know, this is whole key of loving one another, serving one another. We truly demonstrate the commands of Christ. To love God and love others. You know, when you sum it up that way, none of us could claim, well, I lost my memory. I can't remember things like I used to. You know, that's easy. All right, back to Galatians. So, turn left a handful of books again to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. In other words, it did not come from God. It came from somewhere else. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Paul got sense of humor. But
mine actually says that they would get themselves castrated.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
So, what's he saying here is, you know, in the church, somebody was coming in, and it can happen even today in any church. You come in and start reintroducing the law, and people will, you know, in their self. We'll say, I got this figured out. I can do that. And look how good and clean and holy I am, you know, from all the things I'm doing. And it can spread. It can take over a whole church. And many people will be deceived into going back into the law, back into bondage to the law. So, I think that the thing that we need to remember, the thing we need to focus on is, like any love relationship we have, we do things not because we have to, but because we want to. Yeah. It's not a got to, it's a get to. We get to come to church.
Right.
We get to get together with one another. We get to read the Bible. We get to share communion. Nobody's holding you out. But we don't have to do it. You know, we can all remember when we first fell in love with someone that, we did everything we could to please them and be with them and spend time with them and take them places. And shouldn't it be the same way in our love relationship with God? You know, why should we be stomping up to the place where we study in the morning and not wanting to get up and study and read or come to church or get together with our brothers and sisters, you know, come shovel a little dirt or something. Why shouldn't we want to do that? When we have that love relationship with God, we want to do it. We desire it. We can't not do it. And if you have gotten to the point in your love relationship with God, When you miss a week or two gathering together here, you feel it, right? If you miss a number of days of reading scripture or praying, you feel it. All of a sudden you feel unanchored. You feel like you're out in that storm. A little bit lost. A little bit empty. If you go on vacation and let's say you forget to take your Bible and you get out of reading.
May it never be so.
Yeah, may it never be so. you'll feel a little more empty. So this whole thing about grace is we get to. We had a great theologian, St. Bob, Bob Hill, told me last week, I got this great revelation. Check this one out. Love rules without rules. I kind of caught on to that. Yeah, that speaks it, you know. It's unconditional. When we love someone, do we love them because of that's what God has called us to do in our relationship with them? Or do we love them only if they meet certain requirements? You know, they follow certain rules. And in each successful marriage over a period of time, you learn this principle here. Love rules without rules. You know, you got to let, to a point, each person's got to be their own person. You know, you want somebody to love you because they want to love you, right? Not because they got to. And the same with God. He wants us to love him because he loves us. Because he wants us to love him. That's why none of us are forced into the kingdom. None of us are forced to say, yes, Jesus. You know, he invites us. And he rewards us as we draw closer to him.
And this counts even for Germans, right?
Yeah.
Especially Germans.
Yeah, all tribes, nations, and tongues. All right, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. You were called to freedom. Only do not turn in your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Again, this cheap grace accusation. You know, this is where grace displays itself, is through love serving one another. Through serving one another. You know, Vince and I have had a lot of great conversations, and sometimes he'll come up and confess that, oh man, I'm just feeling so bad and crabby and grumpy and my back hurts. And so, what do you recommend, Pastor?
Keep going.
And I say, go out and serve someone. That's a solution. And then he comes back, oh yeah, that worked. So
it's hard to be sad when you do that.
Yeah.
It's hard to be sad.
Amen. Amen. It just does something in us because it's a spiritually appraised principle working in us and through us. So, you know, that's why we are the one another place. This is one of the one another, serving one another. And praise God, this group here, it's so amazing how you love and serve others. And that is what is going to impress people who want to know about this Jesus that you keep talking about. Is when you love someone and serve them. It's not if you came over and said, well, you know, you guys are just not doing it right. You need to do this, do that, the other thing. That doesn't move anyone. But you go out and love
them. Well, it does. It moves them away.
Yeah, amen. So, what are the ways that grace reveals itself in us? You know, if we are saying we're set apart from the law, what are the ways of grace?
A little girl, you carrying a little girl around your shoulder for 15 minutes yesterday, just having a great time.
Amen.
That was incredible.
Grace reminds us of our weaknesses and our flaws,
mm-hmm.
so that we have the eyes of the Lord. Sometimes you get a thought, you see somebody doing something, and you'll be critical, and the Holy Spirit nudges you and say, hey, yeah, but remember the other day, just 2 days ago, you were doing the same darn thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when grace is working in us, we have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. We have a hunger and a thirst to want to be in His presence. To read the word, to pray for someone. We have a desire to intercede for others. You know, there are some of us, well, others, not so much me, but others that are good at prayer and interceding for others. And have you ever thought about it? They're in their prayer closet, nobody can see them, and they're praying and interceding for others. Only God sees and hears that. You know, that's grace. You know, they're not standing out on the street corner making a big show of it. What about when it comes time to forgive? You know, we all get offended. What about when it comes time to forgive them? You know, do we forgive? That's grace. It's grace. What about encouraging one another? You know, do you make it a point to encourage someone every day, whether it be through a phone call or as you are talking to someone? Do you think, when you're speaking, how can I encourage this person? What can I say that would be encouraging to them? Because that is something that you're pouring out, and it's something you're giving away. You're not saying, hey, you know, I want to talk about myself. I want to be good. No, you're encouraging someone else. That is grace working. And And I can guarantee you, and you can test me in this, I can guarantee if you make an effort to encourage others once a day, you will see your life change. You will see your joy be filled up. You will see things happening in your life that you can't even imagine. So, you know, put that on the top of your to-do list, to encourage others. That is living in grace. Listen. Be quick to listen. You know, again, this is something that we all have a struggle with. We have to work through it, is being quick to listen. You know, maybe it's more of a problem or a challenge for us men. Certainly is for me. But just be quick to listen. And that's not just keeping your mouth shut for 10 seconds waiting until it's your turn to talk. It's, you know, what are they really saying? You know, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. That is grace working in and through us. Love, grace, and mercy are acts of grace. That's what Christ wants us to do. That's the commandments of Christ. That's how we love others. You know, giving mercy where it's not earned, where it's not even due. You know, can we do that? I know we all we struggle, we are challenged with wanting to say, straighten up. You know, what's up with you? But instead, if you just give mercy and grace and love to that person, you will be amazed at what it does to others. So we are sanctified through the Spirit. We are made holy through the Spirit, not by our flesh, not by the law. That's why Christ had to come. He fulfilled the law. We cannot fulfill the law. Galatians 5, 17 and 18. Actually, I didn't go past 13, did I? 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbors yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. And that is what will happen. We have seen that. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So you see, this is one of those answers to that cheap grace accusation. You know, if we are walking by the Spirit, we don't have a desire to do the things of the flesh. It's that get to versus got to thing happening in our lives. 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. How many of us know that? That our spirit is at war with the law. Our spirit is at war with the flesh. You know, the flesh will say, try this, do this. It's tempting. Or, you know, I know for me, when I got to that point in my life where I decided I was done drinking, well, partly because it was being forced on me by the law, but I guess I didn't decide on my own. But it was all about, you know, being told I had to do something or couldn't do something. I mean, I wanted to do it just for that reason alone. How many of you grew up that way? Huh?
Yeah.
Probably the whole church. You know, we're at war with the law. You know, somebody tells us we can't do something, we want to do it. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Wow. There's such great freedom. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. This is amazing. How many of you remember that even Paul struggled with this issue? It's a struggle we all have to wrestle with, but Paul struggled with it. Turn to Romans 7. Let's just remind ourselves of it a little bit. Go left in your Bible or in your book, but Romans 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 7. We'll begin with verse 15. And Paul is struggling with these two natures. He's saying, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Sounds like a hangover the next morning, right? But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin, which dwells in me. For I know that nothing is good, nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me. We can talk a good story. Yeah, I want to do that. But the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very thing that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. You know, this is that struggle. But if we are led by the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, you know, this struggle that we've got to do things a certain way and qualify, when that's gone, that burden's off us. We are free. We're able to live and act and walk in freedom. All right. Let's finish up here. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. So we've just taken a few minutes to describe what grace looks like manifesting in our walk. And we need to identify what the flesh is, this thing that we battle with. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we know what the flesh is. So grace is geared towards others, loving others, serving one another. Deeds of the flesh are more geared towards ourselves, manifesting in some pretty ugly ways. So let us live under the law of liberty, live like free men, but not use it as a covering for evil. Let us use this grace, this freedom we have, to love and serve others. Focus on that, and the temptations and the things of the flesh will just fall away. I could almost go as far as say, test me on that one too. So, if we want to get rid of the deeds of the flesh, and we ask how, let's go back to the earlier verse. Love through serving one another. Love through serving one another. If you're out there busy serving one another, that will become your focus. You won't want to take the time to work in the deeds of the flesh.
So once again, love is not a feeling word, it's an action word.
Be a doer, not just a hearer. Be a doer, not just a speaker. Amen. All right. Any other comments, input, reflections, John?
If we're talking about forgiveness, which we've already poured this, the Bible says it many times, even after the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive others, because if you do not forgive others, God in heaven will not forgive you all of your sins as well. Because over and over and over again, you have to forgive.
we like it or not. We forgive just as he has forgiven us. Amen.
So I'm going to put myself on the line here. I met somebody a while back, filled with the Spirit. I'm just going to say love, as far as I can tell, that's what it is. And I realized that, hey, that's where I want to go. That void in my heart, that can fill it. And like that snail, get to the ark, I'm crawling towards that at ever slow pace. But what you're saying is that, yeah, and I'm not where I want to be right now. I want to be that Spirit-filled person that is filled with joy and all the fruits of the Spirit, and happy as can be. So what you're saying is if I go out in faith and just do what it says to do there, then I will become that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try it. And that's Christ working in through us. You know, it's not something that we're trying to check off our list that we've accomplished. Yeah. It's just what we become, what we are.
Well, I gotta confess. I mean, I know y'all think I'm this great guy and all, but when I go home, I'm not sure. I just like Paul. I suffer with that that I do not want to do. That is me. That statement right there, that whole is me.
That's all of us.
Everybody.
But I seem to just let it have me. Right, and I find it, and it's like, okay, after a while, after about the 200th time in one day, you're like, okay. So
it gets back to love working in you through serving others. You know, it's a challenge for us if we, let's say that our marriage relationship is struggling. You know, that movie, what was it, The Truth Dare. Something like that. Love there, cute there.
Love there.
Love there, okay. You know, there's that principle. You know, unconditionally love or serve your spouse. Do something for them every day for 30 days with no expectation in return. No even glimmer of hope that it's going to bear any fruit.
40 days.
Just do it. 40 days. Okay. I read it. I watched the movie.
Does it work?
But that's a challenge. If we can do that, if we'll be able to do that, and then you can apply it to, you know, the community and people that you know, your own life. If you've got time on your hands, spend time loving and serving others, and just watch what God does in your life.
The enemy blows up in our minds our own problems. You know. An example, I'm one of 17 men out of 90 to walk out of Hamburger Hill when I was 17 years old. And in my mind, that was the most traumatic experience anybody could go through. But when I went to this meeting in D.C., there was a bunch of guys with black rings on their trigger finger. And I go, why do you wear that? And they go, this is to remind myself not to shoot myself every day. Uh-huh. And I thought, my problems pale. In comparison. And you're right, it's finding someone who's worse off than you when that love flows through you to them. Your flesh and your problems pale in comparison. I'm not thinking of putting a gun to my head, but there are guys every day that are thinking that.
Amen. And if you put that in contrast, if we go out seeking to have accolades and things given and put on us, how empty does that feel at the end of the day? You know, it's just a flash in the pan. What you're talking about is true joy that sticks with us. Kathy?
1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart for him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and
in truth. Amen. But it's constant. It's that constant battle of flesh. You know, I'll have what I think's a rough day, and I'll get home, and my number's on the food bank. Somebody says, hey, I know it's a bad time, but can I get a food box? And my first thought is, doggone it, I was going to put on Netflix and take my put my slippers on it. And you feel bad for having the thought, but when you get off your tush and you go down there and you make the box and you bring it to them, and they say, thank you so much, I had nothing left in the fridge. Well, you're just overwhelmed by the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Not the work that you did, but that for that brief instant in time you could yield to the Spirit instead of the flesh. And that's only through the grace of God. Because if I had my brothers, I'd have my slippers on and that Netflix just blazing away.
Call you at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Well, let's gather around and pray for one another before we go.